Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your pension is with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie and find out more.
Now, for nearly 4 hours this afternoon, RTE executives and board members have been appearing in front of the Oireachtas Media Committee to answer questions about the current crisis at the national broadcaster. Indeed, they're still in session right now. The Director General, Kevin Backhurst, said that RTE is not facing bankruptcy but has sought €34.5 million in government funding and has announced a recruitment freeze with immediate effect. To discuss today's proceedings, we're joined now by two members of the committee, Fianna Fáil Senator Shane Castles and Labour Senator Marie Sherlock, and you're both welcome to the programme this evening. Shane Castles, I might start with yourself. You questioned RTE Director General about the payment of this $150,000 to Ryan Tubridy, and you were asking him about any sign of any repayment of that sum. What response did you get and what did you think of it?
Yes, well, I asked the question, Sarah, in the respect that obviously today Kevin Backhurst has put a recruitment freeze and that has a big impact, as we heard from Emma O'Kelly, RTE's education correspondent at lunchtime, on the whole staff of RTE. So in the context of that, I asked the question because it's worth the value of nearly 1,000 television licences, and whether Ryan Tubridy, who at the committee hearings in July at the media committee in front of us actually said that he was going to repay the money, and this is before he had any new deal done with RTE about a return to RTE. The man offered himself, he said back in July, if I do not complete those events for RTE and Renault, I will hand back that money. When I asked of the question today, Mr. Backhurst confirmed that the €150,000 had been part of the new contract negotiations with Ryan Tubridy, but obviously they ceased and Ryan Tubridy has not made a return, and neither has the €150,000. Mr. Backhurst confirmed that there's no legal obligation that RTE can't pursue this legally, but I think there's a moral obligation on RTE to seek that money, and indeed a moral obligation on Mr. Tubridy to return the money also.
How would that work from RTE's perspective when you say there's a moral obligation? I mean, all they can do is ask, really, isn't it?
Absolutely,
but you think they should make a formal request?
Absolutely, okay. Sarah. As your mother always tells you, if you didn't ask, you're not going to receive. So okay. I think there has to be an ask from RTE in respect of that. And that's why I asked, had there been correspondence or any actually communication between RTE and Mr. Tubridy, or indeed his agent, Mr. Noel Kelly, that was confirmed by Mr. Backhurst that there has been legal correspondence between the two parties, but that is obviously in respect of the ending of his contract.
Yeah, and what did you make of that aspect of the revelations?
Well, I suppose, I mean, look, this is where we are at the end of a relationship and at the end of a coming together. So, that's with the legal people. I think at this stage, what we need to see is a line drawn under that particular saga. What I'm more concerned about was the announcements this morning in respect of the staff freeze. That has a big impact. And as was said by Mr. Backhurst, he said we're moving to a slim down RTE, both in terms of staff and in terms of the physical campus as well, because I think he said himself that doing nothing with Montrose wasn't an option. So we're either looking at a partial sale of land in Montrose or a full sale of land. And he said even looking at the full sale of land, they had looked at other sites around Dublin as well in terms of whether a transfer of the studios was possible.
Marie Sherlock, I might bring you in on the recruitment freeze that was announced this morning by Kevin Backhurst. And as Shane Castles has alluded to there, it was put to Kevin Backhurst at the committee today, a tweet or a statement actually by Emma O'Kelly from RTE, saying that staff in RTE today are going to be asking where the freeze is on big fat car allowances or executive perks, and they're saying it seems the ordinary worker is going to bear the brunt once again when they didn't cause this problem. And when that was put to Kevin Backhurst, he said, if I have anything to do with it, Emma O'Kelly won't be right about that. What did you make of that entire exchange?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's extremely worrying that we now have a recruitment freeze, because ultimately that's going to impact on everybody who goes into RTE every day to produce the best quality broadcasting services to us and the public. And certainly, I suppose, to Emma O'Kelly's, very real and legitimate concern about allowances. Like, as in, we had a list of, I think, of 11 allowances, personal allowances, allowances for extra responsibilities, where there's a huge lack of transparency in terms of who's getting the allowances and exactly for what reason. So I think there were, a suggestion today that there would be a review of those allowances, and certainly we would very much support that, because ultimately, there are some allowances that are very legitimate, particularly if somebody's doing, a late night shift or whatever it may be. But the thing is that others maybe are getting allowances that are effectively top-ups to their salary, I think are hugely problematic. And at the end of the day, RTE is about people. It's about, like, as in, it's people who go in and deliver the services. And I think the really regrettable thing now with the financial situation is that we're going to to have, you know, perhaps fewer services at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And indeed, digital services, Kevin Backhurst talked about having to pull back in digital services when they should be expanding them.
Yeah, and I want to get back to that, actually, the overall impact on this, on the services RT is able to provide. But just on that point that, you know, allowances shouldn't be used as a top-up of pay, isn't that not, Marie Sherlock, what happens everywhere, you know, in business? It's used in business all the time. Now, Kevin Backhurst made the point today that he didn't think, for example, the car allowance should be called the car allowance. He said it should be called a management allowance, as a recognition that it doesn't necessarily require you to have a car. But he also said he doesn't want to be in a situation where he's not able to pay competitive prices to have the best people around him. And he's trying to benchmark prices for what people should be paid all across Europe in terms of other broadcasting companies around Europe. Is that not a fair point, that we have to be careful here how much we push to make sure that we actually do get the best people?
Well, I'm certainly very clear that, you know, people need to be paid decent incomes for the jobs that they do. But I think what I do have a concern about is that opaqueness, that lack of transparency, in terms of how people are recruited and how they are paid. And I suppose one of the points I was making today is that, you know, we have a report that was commissioned by RTE in foot of internal bullying allegations in RTE, and that there were very serious cultural issues with regards to particularly how women felt they were treated in the organisation. They didn't get the same opportunities. They felt they weren't respected. Mm. And they were very serious. Like, RTE fought tooth and nail to not have that report published. Mm-hmm. And there are issues with regards to how that report is being implemented. So I think there, you know, again, in terms of instilling trust in the public and instilling trust in the staff, I think there's still very serious initiatives that need to take place to ensure that RTE can kind of move together as one.
Okay, and I know you brought that up, that particular report and the publication of it and the difficulties with it and indeed the implementation, and you were told that the managing editor of Current Affairs is doing a lot to implement the recommendations of that report. Were you happy with that response?
Well, I think that is at odds from many of the staff that I talk to in RTE, and certainly I know the trade union group, the group of unions in RTE certainly haven't had formal engagement in that. But I think the key thing here is that ultimately that, you know, going back to that point, you know, when Emma makes that point about allowances and everything else, like, people I think have felt really bruised over the summer that they're going in to do a really good job, and yet the organisation they're, you know, working for has effectively been smeared by grubby deals and very poor corporate governance. And I suppose it's important that people feel respected, that they feel valued, and that there's an element of transparency.
Shane Castles, I want to bring you back in terms of where we go from here, because, you know, I think there is more committee meetings planned, I think, and lots of people saying a lot of answers still haven't been provided. For example, why exactly Ryan Tubridy's pay between 2017 and 2019 was understated, who made that decision and why was it made? That's still not answered today. Shuni Riley, though, said it hasn't been answered because the people who have the answers haven't given them.
Yes, I suppose. And I think your opening question as well, Sarah, is the right one. Where do we go from here? Because the financial crisis in respect of RTE was, you know, really, as if we needed to be told again, laid bare today, when we told that there is going to be a shortfall of 28 million this year. That's in addition to the 34 million interim funding. So we're talking over 60 million and borrowing of 60 million that RTE currently has as well. Now, Kevin Backhurst was very combative in his opening statement. Today he called out the politicians. He says, we need your help as well. And he says, we're going to face RTE's demise. And he was very blunt in that. I suppose equally, Minister Michael McGrath was very, stark yesterday in talking that any kind of state-owned organisation coming before the Minister for Finance doesn't always get what they're looking for either. And the point that I made to the Director General today was, we do need to see these demonstrable actions and changes within RTE before money is going to be paid.
And what needs to be seen now at this point?
Well, I suppose Mr. Backer said that we're going to see the framework of these changes in early October before the budget, but we won't see the full plan and the full strategic reform until the end of this year. And I suppose there's two problems here. One, he's trying to put RTE on a sound basis looking into the next decade, not the next 6 months, but RTE has a crisis in the here and now. And I suppose both of those issues need to be solved, but we do need to see those actions by RTE if they are going to receive the funding. And I suppose the fact that Kevin Backhurst came in today and said, look, we do have everything on the table, including the sale of the property, But equally so, you sell the property once, that's it. It's gone for life. You're not going to have that again. So there is a cost to moving RTE out of its current premises as well. I think the key thing that he said was, and the key phrase he used was, slimming down. But then the public and as a society, we're going to have a conversation. What does a slim down RTE mean? It is going to mean less quality programming if we're cutting staff. And I think that's a very, very serious issue. I think
To Kevin Backer's point, are the politicians dealing with this? Do you think they're facing up to it? Is the Minister for Media facing up to this? Is the Taoiseach facing up to it? Is the Minister for Finance facing up to it? Because there's a crisis right now that people have been screaming about for the last couple of months, indeed the last couple of years, but it's obviously been a real focus on it now for the last couple of months. And I don't see any action.
Well, I think you've heard both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste. I mean, we discussed this as an entire session at our parliamentary party thinking yesterday, Sarah, such was the seriousness that we're dealing with it. And the Tánaiste spoke about this afterwards in terms of saying that there will be announcements in terms of the reform of the licence fee this year, with legislative changes then being made next year to see those come into effect. So, I mean, they're very, very well aware. They're very well aware because RTE are before them looking for interim funding of up to 60 million euros. So if you've got a state body looking for that level of funding, you're aware of the problem that exists. I think it has been fudged for well over a decade. I think that's, unfortunately, we've had this crisis to bring it to a head, and as to what kind of RTE we want going into the future, both in terms of current affairs and sport. I mean, Kevin Backhurst spoke today. It wasn't just a recruitment freeze that was being put in place. It was a freeze on non-discretionary spending. That's going to impact things like outside broadcasting units. Yeah. Anyone from RTE Sport will tell you the importance of outside broadcasting unit. So this has an impact right in the here and now in terms of what kind of programming people can expect on our national broadcast. Yeah. And that's a very serious issue.
Well, it is. And Marie Sherlock, just finally to you on this. I mean, what needs to be done from the government's perspective now, given how serious things have become?
Well, I think there is a very serious issue now with regards to politicians and government's responsibility with regards to this, because I don't believe it is acceptable that the government can say that they withhold emergency or interim funding until they see a plan, because of course any plan is only as good as its implementation, which is going to be well into next year. And the reality is that if we are collectively serious about saving RTE, about ensuring that those who work in RTE can go in and provide us with the service that we require, whether it's in current affairs, whether it's in arts, whether it's in sport or wherever else, or in Irish language, then, you know, we need that interim funding needs to be put in place. And look, I'm in no doubt as to the change that is required in RTE, and I think there are profound changes and there's still a lot to come out in RTE, I think, because there was questions we were posing today that they still don't have the answers to. But I really do think the government on one hand cannot be saying this is terrible, that the licence fee is effectively collapsing, and on the other hand sending out a message, well, we're not giving you anything until we see the plan, which Kevin Backhurst said is not going to be produced until the end of the year. And okay, I think RTE have to be allowed some time to try and get it right. But I think there's an element here of speaking out of both sides of their mouth.
In the meantime,
there's an element of speaking out of both sides of their mouth here. You know, they need to, I think, be very clear. We need people to pay their licence fee if we're committed to RTE.
Right.
And the government needs to step in with that interim funding and then ensure that the strategic plan is implemented
the
over the medium term.
All right. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Marie Sherlock and Shane Castles. You can let us know what you think to 51551.